Hey everybody, welcome to the Celebrate Recovery Podcast. My name is Johnny and I'm a believer who struggles with alcoholism. With me again today is Bob. Bob, why don't you say hi?
Hey everybody, how are you doing out there?
Bob, what is going on, man?
Well, we are just in the throes of getting ready for the annual Celebrate Recovery Summit here in August, and we are just so excited about what's about ready to take place next week.
Yeah, as we record this, we've got about a week before we go live with the summit. I'm ready. Are you ready, Bob?
I wish I was more ready than I am right now. I'm still in the midst of trying to get some final preparations done here, but I know that once it's time to go, I'll be ready to go.
Yeah, when I say I'm ready, I mean I'm still working on my workshop notes. I'm still building my PowerPoint, and I have nothing dry cleaned and ready to wear. But other than that, I'm completely ready to go.
Completely ready to go. Yeah, emotionally, I'm ready to go. Spiritually, I'm ready to go.
So you're out in Vegas, and is your group going to run while you're out of town?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, that's one of the things that we're going to be working on tonight at our leadership meeting is the plans and preparation for the absence of essentially 15 of our leaders to be gone and yet still keep the ministry up and running while we're out there.
Now, how are you going to do that? Because you guys are pretty new, right? You started around Easter?
Yeah. In fact, we just launched April 6th on Good Friday. And we've got several of our leaders, like I mentioned, that are going to be coming out for the summit. But we do have several leaders that are going to be staying back to make sure that things continue to happen. And one of the things that we're going to work on tonight is making sure that we have all of our groups covered and that we have at least one leader for that Friday available for the new people that are going to be coming.
That's cool. Do the leaders that are staying behind, how are they feeling about not coming out?
Well, I'm sure that for a lot of them, they'd rather be out there with us at Saddleback, but for one reason or another, they're not able to go. And I think, we're grateful that they're going to be here so that we can keep the ministry up and running while people are out at the summit.
Yeah, and let me just say to not only your leaders that are staying behind, but all the leaders from the different CR ministries that are staying to make sure that groups run smoothly, thank you. Thanks for sacrificing. Thanks for going the extra mile and staying home. And keeping those groups live and running, just because we're having a summit doesn't mean that there's not going to be people that are coming to Celebrate Recovery for the very first time. And so it's so important that those groups stay running. So thank you for staying home.
That's exactly right. That's just a huge sacrifice for people to be able to do that.
Yeah. Now, our Celebrate Recovery on Friday night of the summit is going to be about 3,000 people larger than it normally is, but that's pretty cool.
That's awesome. I love seeing when newcomers come in for the first time and they think they're at a Celebrate Recovery meeting with 3,000 people in it.
I know, right? It's kind of crazy. It's like, is this what it's going to be like every week? Or,
mm-hmm.
But that's fun. I love Friday night of the summit because I'm exhausted and I'm about as emotional as I ever get. And so like hearing people read the principles or just some of our Road to Recovery kind of songs and stuff like that gets me emotional. And it's just, it's a fun time.
It is. Doesn't it seem like just that last hour, the energy really starts to pick up?
And, it does,
people,
yeah.
Even though we're exhausted, it's like God just kind of reinvigorates everybody to keep going.
Yeah, we should be falling down tired, but instead we're ready to keep going. Leaving Solid Rock at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock is hard for me to do. I want to keep going.
Amen.
Of course, I sleep for 3 or 4 days after that, but, you know.
That's
still
exactly right.
Well, Bob, what I thought we would do today, this being our second ever podcast, I thought it would be fun for everybody out there listening. I don't know how many that is. I'm guessing, you and me and maybe Carrie, your wife, are listening right now. But other than that, anybody out there listening, I thought it would be kind of cool for them to hear a little bit more about you. You're someone who's been a part of the program, Celebrate Recovery, in three different churches now, and it's tempting to think that Bob just was fully formed, recovered, and the man he is today. But I've known you too long to know that's true. But I thought it might be fun to kind of hear a little bit about your recovery journey. Would that be cool with you?
Absolutely. I'd love to share some of that.
Right on. Well, the first thing is that I think it all starts with is what brought you to Celebrate Recovery for the first time?
Well, I was 23 years old, and I had been addicted to drugs for the previous 10 years, started using drugs when I was 13 years old, introduced to pornography for the first time when I was 12, and both of those addictions ran parallel for a number of years. And it wasn't until my family finally sat me down, they did what's called an intervention. Maybe you've seen the show on A&E, something mm-hmm. similar to that. They sat me down. They told me how much they loved me and how much they cared about me, but they couldn't watch me destroy my life anymore. And if I didn't get help, I was going to have to leave their house and the family business. And they wrote this all down in a letter and presented it to me. And at that moment, I basically took the letter, crumpled it up, threw it back in their face, and I walked out the door because I didn't want any part of what they had. And I don't know really to this day what happened those next few days, but somehow I found myself in a recovery meeting for the first time. And as I walked in the door, it was almost like I was meant to be there because people almost knew me before I got there. And I think that's what's so amazing about Celebrate Recovery is we get there and we realize that we're not alone. And as I walked through the door, I found something there that I didn't have, and that was hope. Hope that my life could be different, hope that I could live a different way, hope that I could live sober and actually have a joyful, happy life. And that encouraged me to come back that next time.
And when was that? What year was that?
That was in April of 1994.
So in 94, it was the first time you came to Celebrate Recovery?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
It was an amazing experience walking in there and seeing all these people. I'd never seen worship before, and seeing people worship God and what that looked like and how engaging it was for me.
Yeah, I've heard a few people say that it took them a couple of tries. They would kind of come to the church and make it up the hill or kind of stop in the parking lot or hang outside. Was that like that for you, or did you come in your very first time?
I did come in my very first time, but I'm going to confess something here that I really haven't shared too much publicly. I did come with my mom for the very first time.
Oh, that's so sweet, though.
Isn't that? And you know what? That's exactly what it took for me, was for me to come with somebody else because I didn't have the courage to get there on my own.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kidding you because I know you, but I mean, how that's actually really cool that somebody would come along with you and you know, walk you in, because it can be, it really can be an overwhelming experience the very first time you come into Celebrate Recovery, for sure. So that's actually a very cool thing. Now, how long did it take you to feel like you were home, though?
Really, I would say after my second visit. You know, my first visit, I think I felt like I was in the right place. But my second visit, when I came by myself for the first time, that's when I went, this is for me. This is exactly where I need to be. And, you know, ever since then, I've been coming on Friday nights ever since, whether it be here or in, you know, other churches around the country.
Now, did you get involved in step studies right away, or did you wait a little while? How did you do that?
Well, actually, when I first started, there was a gap there because we didn't actually have the step study groups at the time.
In fact, the
workbooks were still kind of a work in progress. But it did take me a little while before I got a sponsor and began working the steps with that person. I think I needed a little bit of time just to kind of plug in and make sure I was in the right place and that I belonged in the Celebrate Recovery group. And then as I heard stories of other people and heard their encouragement and heard their words of going through the steps, it encouraged me to do it myself and to go ahead and give it a try. And that's when I asked somebody to be my sponsor and began working the steps with that individual.
Yeah. Now, when did you start to see your life change?
Gosh, for me, it was pretty early on. After accepting Jesus into my heart and asking him to forgive me and to guide my life, I really felt a significant heart change that day. Something about my desire, something about me began to be different. The things that I wanted in life, I just started getting a little bit of new direction. And but as I kept going through the process and kept going to the meetings, you know, I didn't notice the subtle changes early on, but I did notice a significant one, and that was the desire for drugs and alcohol began to go away.
Right.
Some people call it the obsession. But it began to diminish for me pretty early on into my recovery. But some of the more character issues, some of the more deep issues that I had going on underneath all that took a little while. I would say several months before I experienced real change that way.
Yeah. And did you – how long did it take you before you decided to step into leadership then?
Actually, it's kind of funny the way that worked out. As I had my one-year sobriety anniversary, or some people call them birthdays, I remember telling Pastor John that was my week, and the leadership interview was all of about 10 seconds, and he said, "You're now a leader in Celebrate Recovery."
Oh, that's cool.
It was awesome. And I think, you know, he had his eye on me all the way through, so he kind of knew who I was. And but I remember that day out on the patio when he said, "You're a leader today."
And what was leadership like for you? Was it a smooth transition? Did you feel like did you love it right away? Did you struggle with it? How did you feel about it?
Well, I certainly didn't feel worthy. I certainly didn't feel like I had what it took to be a leader. I didn't think I had the maturity, for one, just with my age, two, any kind of skills to be a leader. But yet God seemed to, you know, have a good sense of humor and put me in that place anyways. And, you know, through that experience, it allowed me to grow as an individual, allowed me to mature emotionally. And it also made me a lot more excited to serve and to help others that had struggled like I have.
Yeah. Now, I would guess that you would say you've had a lot of blessings come out of your time in Celebrate Recovery, but I know for sure you've had one huge blessing in your life, and I'm talking, of course, about your wife, Carrie. Tell us a little bit about how you met.
Well, and that is a huge blessing, and I tell people all the time that I married way up.
Oh, yeah.
I definitely married out of my league. Can you? Yeah, thank you for vouching for me on that. We actually joined recovery about the same time. She joined in April of 94 as well as I did, but we didn't know each other. And we kind of walked parallel recovery programs for about a year and a half. And neither one of us really knowing each other, really interacting all that much. And we both kind of joined the leadership team around the same time. And it's kind of funny. One day, she showed up at a Bible study that I was in with some other recovery folks, and something clicked. And as she walked in the door, I said, "You know what? In my heart, there's no way a woman like this would want to be with a guy like me." And it wasn't too long after that that, you know, God began to bring our hearts together, and we started moving forward in a relationship, and it's the best thing that could have ever happened to me.
That's cool. That's cool. And you two were recently blessed with your first child.
Yeah, little Jackson. He's just over 1 year old now. And, man, I just love him more every single day.
Yeah, that's awesome. Keep him away from my daughters.
He's got his eye on him.
Now, one of the great things about you and Carrie is that you guys have been serving, though, in leadership since then. And even you've started two Celebrate Recovery ministries outside of Saddleback, right?
That's right. One of them we actually took over and developed a ministry in Little Rock, Arkansas, and then just recently in February moved out here to Las Vegas, Nevada to start a ministry from the ground up here.
I mean, that's completely fresh. There wasn't a ministry.
There was no ministry here at all. Yeah.
Well, I think the topic of how you started that and walking through all that is probably another discussion for another day, because there's a lot involved with that, I'm sure. But what have you seen In the three sort of experiences you've had as a leader at Celebrate Recovery, out here at Saddleback, in Little Rock, and now at Las Vegas, what are some of the nuggets of wisdom you've pulled away from those experiences?
Well, I think the first thing is that no matter where you go, people are hurting, people are struggling, people have issues that are keeping them stuck. And I don't care if you're on the West Coast or if you're in the South, East Coast, in the middle of the desert, people are struggling everywhere that you go. I think one of the things that I've learned through the process is that it is a process. And God allows us as leaders to join the process with Him to help people grow closer to Him. And I'm going to steal the word from Erwin McManus that says we're environmentalists. And I think that's the opportunity that I have, is to create an environment that God can send people to where they can experience spiritual growth that will transform their life. And no matter where we do that, God seems to send people when we provide the place for Him to send them to.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're definitely right. It doesn't matter if you're in Las Vegas or, you know, London. You know, people are hurting wherever you go. Well, Bob, I think we're gonna leave it there. I think I'm so happy to hear from you and just sort of get a chance to talk to you. And I know people are going to be blessed to hear your testimony and hear your story. And I know there's more and more to come, but thank you for sharing the real you with us. And is there anything else you'd like to say before we kind of close?
You know, I'm just thankful to be a part of this. You know, this is God's calling and God's plan for my life. And I love this ministry. And I love the people in this ministry, and I'm grateful to serve with you, and I'm grateful to serve with all the leaders around the country and even around the world now that have a heart for hurting people, because we're all in this thing together.
We definitely are. Well said. Hey, everybody, that's Bob Wood, our National Assimilation Coach. We will post the link to his blog on CelebrateRecoveryPodcast.com. So if you'd like to, if you're an assimilation coach anywhere out there and you'd like to hear from Bob, you can find that link there, and you can also find the links to our other team blogs, the TEAM blogs, there as well. And don't forget, we've got the summit coming up. We are thrilled about it. And, Bob, I can't wait to see you in about a week here.
Look forward to it. Thank you so much.
All right. We'll talk to you guys soon, and see you next week.